And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 319. A little change of pace for you tonight, talking best balls, talking underdog, talking all the fun stuff and things that takes place there, and a ton of news on a Carnage Tuesday around Major League Baseball. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
Good morning. How are you doing, Bubba?
Doing great. Doing great.
Yeah.
Not as good as you, but I'm doing great.
What a day. What a day, a Tuesday of carnage. I am doing better than Schwellenbach. I'm doing better than Santander. I'm doing better than Bieber, Lindor, Reese Olson. I think I've covered everyone. I'm doing better than those guys today, at least. So there's that. I've got that working for me.
Yes, set the bar very, very high on that one. There's Spencer Thurman getting ready to draft some best balls with us, I have a feeling, yes. So that'll be good. We'll get to him shortly, but it was a carnage day. We'll get to that in a second. First, we've got to mention our good friends over at Baseball HQ. Draft season's ramping up with all the carnage that took place today. There's going to be some ranking shifts, some projection shifts, some playing time shifts, and much, much more. You'll have it all covered over there at baseballhq.com. Come join and get the draft prep subscription. Use promo code BUBBA26 for a $10 off your draft prep subscription. Gets you everything you need for the rest of draft season, plus the first month of April to get you through, get you going, and maybe stick along to get all the Baseball HQ stuff. Like be full-time weekly starting next week with my PT tomorrow. Obviously, once the season starts, we'll have daily matchups for myself. And Ryan is blowing and going with a speculator, and in season we'll have his fab column. So, what else do I need to cover there with HQ? I think I got most of it there.
You got it. I'll just add the projections and the actual the daily updated playing time projections. I'm looking forward to Wednesday's playing time today column at Baseball HQ when our episode comes out. Because yes, all the carnage from Carnage Tuesday, Bloody Tuesday, whatever we want to call it. Baseball HQ does a daily column that updates all playing time projection changes, puts that in a column, and then updates the actual projections with that. So they will be on top of all of this carnage as they are every day. So that's one thing. We have a small army of folks that cover playing time and do the playing time projections for HQ. So the playing time there, as well as the race stats, are all very solid. So the projections are part of that draft prep sub. So best promo code in the biz. Bubba26, $10 off, full site access through April with draft prep subscription. Check them out.
Let's get into some of that news that we have been hinting at. So we'll start at the top. Francisco Lindor is dealing with a stress reaction in his left hamate bone. They said if he requires surgery, it's usually a six-month recovery. We know most of the time a hamate bone injury will zap power for a little bit. Not all. We've seen some guys power through it, but not many. It's partly it's, you know, 6 weeks from now, it's close to opening day. So it's like, do you want to go just get it done with now? Or do you want to play through it and hope it doesn't get worse throughout the year? And there ain't no shortstop real options outside of Mauricio, Ryan. So what are your thoughts with this Lindor news that dropped on Tuesday?
This one, for me, out of all the things that came out on Tuesday, was the most surprising. I don't know about you, but it's tough. This one hurts. I kind of hope they just gets the surgery and recovery is close to opening day. And then maybe there's some sapping of power, like you said, early on. But I wouldn't jump off the ledge quite yet if you have some early Francisco Lindor shares, as I do. There's a chance it saps power. There's a chance it doesn't. Matt Olson famously had this hamate surgery, I think, 4 or 5 years ago now, turned out to be just fine. You look at the recovery timeline, you just hope it kind of gets taken care of and this doesn't linger. Even if Lindor has to miss the first 10 games or whatever the season, I think that's okay. I don't want to say bullet dodged by any means. This is not ideal, but I wouldn't get too down if you had an early Francisco Lindor share. Maybe this is just me talking myself back onto the ledge, but this isn't like horrible. It's bad. It's not horrible. I wouldn't even look at replacements yet because it sounds like Lindor would be back right around opening day. So I wouldn't draft around it until we know more information.
Yeah, like honestly, if he starts dropping into like a round or so, I'd be interested in taking that discount with Lindor, because it should not be a whole lot of time missed now. You know, things can change. But right now, I'm with you. I'm not too panicky there. Like I said, Mauricio is about the only guy in town if a replacement's needed for now for the Mets.
Yeah.
Spencer Schwellenbach missed most of the season, at least like the second half of the season, with a fractured elbow last year. And now he's going to start the season on the 60-day IL with right elbow inflammation, which the fact he went straight to the 60-day IL, doing this enough, Ryan, makes me feel like the next news is going to be a surgery is taking place with this. Because if it was just normal inflammation, we've seen guys in season with normal inflammation not even hit the IL, or at least it's just 15 days. Straight to the 60-day on February 10th makes me quite concerned.
Straight to the 60, straight to jail. Yeah, not great. I mean, this was a concern with Schwellenbach, right? This was a little bit different with the elbow. This was like a bone injury. And it's weird. The Braves are, like, at least what I read from the beat reporters, is that they're hoping this is bone spurs, which would make sense since Schwellenbach's coming off a broken elbow. But still, either way, to have that in early February is not ideal. And obviously this is causing inflammation, so it's not good all around. Very tough news for early Schwelly drafters. This is the for folks that don't draft early, unlike us. This is the reason to not draft early, though. Schwelly did have some lingering concerns that we talked about with finishing, obviously, last year with elbow issues. The difference with this one was it wasn't really a muscle thing; it was a bone. But obviously, that's all affecting everything going on there. So this is tough. Probably helps your guy, Hurston Waldrop. You were debating drafting him last night on the Beat Bubba live stream. Kind of wish you did, but some life for Hurston Waldrop and or Bryce Elder at the end of that rotation. I'm more excited for Hurston Waldrop than I am Bryce Elder.
Yeah, I'm excited for Hurston Waldrop as well. It was a big talking point in the Discord today, what's going on with that rotation, because you have Sale, you have Strider, then it's like Lopez, Holmes, Elder, according to Roster Resource. Elder's out of options. So is Grant Holmes. And then Ronaldo. Like, so it comes down to, does one go to the pen? Because it really, Waldrop should not be held back by any of those three. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But yes, it opens the door with Schwelly out of the way for Waldrop to get there sooner, hopefully. And maybe a little J.R. Ritchie as well. It was a popular prospect.
The Sikalski special, J.R. Ritchie. Yes,
very much so. All right. Anthony Santander got paid $92.5 million over 5 years from the Toronto Blue Jays. Missed most of his first year with the team. Going to miss most of his second year with the team, as Santander is going to be out 5 to 6 months, not weeks, months, after having left labral surgery. That is obviously not great. Nathan Lucas and Davis Schneider are supposed to platoon in his absence right now. That's the early note. But Santander, this is a massive hit. And like, knock on wood, I'll have my fair share of early drafting woes. No Schwelly, no Santander in my world. So pretty happy about that.
Yeah, same so far. Not that anyone cares, despite my Lindor shares. This is, I don't know, man. This has got some Chris Bryant vibes to it. This contract
was placed on the 60-day IL today.
Was he also? That didn't make it on the sheet tonight. I don't know why.
I didn't see a designation. He got placed on the 60-day IL. I don't know what he, just because he's Chris Bryant. I don't know.
I mean, that's a whole other travesty there, but this is tough. Especially, there were reports that and quotes that Santander was feeling good in December, feeling normal, feeling fine. And so, I mean, that was always the rub, is like, all right, last year was a lost season for Santander. Presumably an offseason of R&R is going to work out. He's going to come back and do his thing. Obviously that's not the case. Sucks. I mean, it sucks all around. I'm sure Santander doesn't want to be on the IL. So that's rough. And yeah, I don't know, man, for as good as Toronto's lineup is, you mentioned Lucas, you mentioned Davis Schneider. Like, I don't know if any of those guys still get regular playing time. I'm not too enthused about either from a fantasy standpoint. So a little bit of a hole in that Blue Jays lineup for me.
Yeah, I just took David Schneider in round like 36 of the DC we're in right now. I'm like, or not Schneider, Nathan Lucas in like round 35, 36, whatever we're in right in now. And yeah, just took him. Papa Bloom says, good start. I drafted Waldrop and Elder at FPAS because you're a genius, Papa Bloom. That's what you do. You listen to the show, you do good drafted things.
Waldrop and Elder at FPAS.
Toronto had a lot of injury news today. It was Santander. We found out Bowden Francis was having Tommy John, if anybody still felt like drafting him. But then Shane Bieber was another one. You know, he came back late last year after his Tommy John surgery. Looked pretty good. He's going to get a late start to a season as he's having – he's going to delay his ramp-up period due to forearm fatigue. Like, that was the initial report. You're like, okay, that's not great. Now they've already said he's starting the year on the IL due to the forearm fatigue. They haven't – and so I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop on this one. Yeah. This doesn't bode well, it feels like, for an really not as old as we thought, we found out last year, Shane Bieber, but still a guy that came back from Tommy John and is already feeling some pain.
Right, and the biggest thing here is, right, a couple months ago, it was the forearm fatigue, and it hasn't gotten better with, whatever, 2 months of rest, which isn't going to get that much better after 2 months more of rest. So that's a major issue for Shane Bieber. I guess by roster resource, Jose Berrios, Cody Ponce might be rounding out that rotation. I saw a report that Eric Lauer is going to be stretched out as a starting pitcher. I actually really like Eric Lauer. I have him in a couple DCs, so I'm somewhat selfishly rooting for that to potentially happen. So maybe that's one S-word sleeper type name to keep an eye on, Eric Lauer there late. But yeah, Shane Bieber for me. I don't see any reason why you would draft him in a draft and hold, maybe a fab league if you want to kind of still take that shot and drop him if it doesn't work out. But this does not look good for Shane Bieber.
Yes, it does not look good at all. Tigers are busy. They signed Framber like a week ago. On Tuesday, they signed Justin Verlander, brought him back home. 1 year, $13 million, $11 million deferred. Well done, Detroit, in that regard. And also, shortly thereafter, the Verlander news, Reese Olson announced out for the season due to shoulder surgery. And Reese Olson, not too long ago, was supposedly doing well and looked good. So Reese Olson out for the year. Justin Verlander takes his spot in the rotation. And that's where we stand there.
Why, man, these reports that people feel good do not put too much stock in. Reese Olson actually had his surgery 2 days before they signed Framber Valdez.
Yeah, that's what's even crazier.
Which is, so back on February 2nd, this was over 8 days ago. A week ago that Reese Olson went under the knife, which is twisting the knife for folks that have since drafted him. So obviously, tough for Reese Olson. But again, it's just that you end the season with elbow, arm strain injuries. It's tough for me to draft you in the offseason until I see you pitch in the spring. And this holds true. Verlander, this seems like a swan song, right? This is it. This is one last hurrah with the boys in Detroit. So is Melton, you think Melton still has, is he still on the outside looking in with Verlander signing? Is that how you see it?
Yeah, he's basically taking Reese Olson's spot to me. So yeah, Melton's still like, and it's a good rotation. Now, Scooble, Valdez, Flaherty, and Verlander could be that guy they got in the second half with the Giants. And then
Verlander's
Casey Mize,
not bad still, man.
Like, I'd say that's a good starting five right now, because it wasn't too long ago where it felt like Casey Mize needed to be like the 1B to Scooble's 1A. Now he's the five. So that's a pretty strong rotation in Detroit. Formidable, as they say.
Yep.
A couple other minor news moves here. Aaron Saivaly signed with the Sacramento Athletics. You have always been a Saivaly fan. I have made fun of him a lot, but don't mind him at cheap prices. Just didn't expect him to sign here, which is not great. And it also hurts some potential spec options with the Sacramento pitchers, given they will all get their chances because this rotation still is up in flames.
Is pretty garbage. Agreed. I fresh off a shout out on the Patreon article, post 580p Saivaly. I like Saivaly. Not this much, though. I don't like the landing spot.
I was hoping to be somewhere else. A lot of other places. Exactly. A lot of other places.
This is not great at all. I'd almost rather Saivaly still be looking for a job than joining Sacramento.
But wait, it gets worse. The Colorado Rockies have made two signings on Tuesday.
Yes.
And my, oh my. Tomoyuki Sugano, whose fastball gets hit like it's batting practice, signed with the Colorado Rockies. That's just going to be amazing stuff there. And then just, you know, half hour, an hour ago, Jose Quintana signed with the Rockies. That one might not be as bad, at least on the road. Sugano's just, he's not that good.
Yeah, and a little bit of truth behind that. I did not know Sugano was even a free agent. When I saw him sign with the Rockies, I was like, what?
I thought it was multi-years with Baltimore. How did that
I know. Happen? I did too. I thought it was, yeah. I obviously haven't dug into Sugano too much. I haven't drafted him. Certainly will not be drafting him now that he's on the Rockies, but was surprised to see that. I think your biggest takeaway here is DFS, right? That's the ultimate stream against Sugano in Coors. Probably even Quintana. Sugano, but Quintana always gets by, though. I don't know. He's got that facade, Javier Assad, to him. Or maybe Assad has some Quintana in him is probably the better way to put it.
Yeah.
Quintana's been at this for a while, but still, I'm not interested in Quintana. Certainly not interested in Sugano. I'm interested in streaming against Sugano.
Yep, totally agree on all fronts there. So yeah, busy Tuesday of news, and there's still more guys set to return. One thing I meant to say during Lindor, though, is it made me wonder when they said, like, you know, the insurance issues and the teams wouldn't let certain players play with their national team.
Yep.
I wonder if that was there. Then does that mean other guys that have been told no, we should be keeping an eye out on? That's partly in the back of my head now.
You know, Cole Reagans isn't playing for Team USA, so.
But that was his decision.
That was his decision. He's good then. He's good.
Yeah, no, he's pro Royals, but I'm talking like Correa and some other guys that weren't allowed to go. Yes, Cole Reagans is just fine. He's an SP2 on a phenomenal OC team that was picked on Monday evening. So
yeah, there we go.
Nothing to worry about there. Yeah. All right, let's get to the moment we've all been waiting for: best ball time underdog fantasy. And I'm going to preface this right before we get started. We love to play underdog fantasy. We know a little bit of what we're talking about. There's some very, very smart people that cover underdog fantasy that are friends of ours, and we've been on their shows, and we recommend those. We'll get to those later in the show. But if you're listening to this to become a professional underdog player, probably not the place. I'll be very honest. But if you want to have fun playing best ball, you're going to like the show. So I'm going to preface that right out the gate before we get too crazy with this. But Ryan, I'll kick it to you. We're talking basics of best ball when it, and the last thing I'll say is I did a show last year with Spencer Thurman because he plays all best ball formats. So we talked BB10s, we talked DraftKings, underdog, NFBC, all different scorings, all different roster sizes. So keep that in mind. We're strictly sticking to underdog here, but gonna pass the torch to you, Ryan.
I'm a little. Let's see how like basic advanced to take this, but yeah, our general thing here is we both really enjoy playing best ball on underdog. It's a nice change of pace versus Roto. I don't get like super, super into best ball just because so much of my attention is on this show and what we cover with NFBC and 5x5 Roto. So I will echo your preface with that, but we at least want to kind of open your all's eyes to best ball. I think it's a really fun format, especially in the off season. If you don't want to manage teams throughout the season, certainly not, you don't want to do fab leagues, but if you don't even want to set your lineups or whatever, best ball is a really nice way. And underdog makes it super easy to do this. You can draft this on your phone. Most of these drafts are like a half hour that we're going to do one at the end of the show, a live draft to do it. For me, it's a nice kind of just change of pace to Roto. I don't dive super deep into the like advanced strategies of it, but I feel like somewhat lethal enough to at least talk about it and at least open your all's minds to embracing best ball as a format that you want to do. I think it's very much like it's huge in football. In baseball, it seems like this is just my narrative, my opinion coming in here. It seems like it's vastly undercovered, and that's no slight to the folks that do this. The folks on Stacking Dingers, Spencer, Chris, all these guys that we will shout out again eventually. It's a really fun format that I think doesn't get its light in the sun.
It does not, but it's getting there, is what I'll say. Like, if you look at the price,
that's true. This year,
they're much true. Better. I was actually laughing as I was waiting for you to wake up tonight. I was scrolling Twitter, and there's a couple of people I know are hardcore fantasy football like analysts, and they're tweeting about their best ball underdogs for baseball right now. So it's transitioning, and a lot of that's just because they see a formula in football and they're trying to crack the formula in baseball.
So like, that's what I was going to say, right? Yeah. Is it more best ball people coming over into baseball, or is it baseball people coming into best ball? We're taking it more the baseball people embracing you all to best ball, if that makes sense.
One reason why we love it is the best part about fantasy baseball is drafting. So like we'd love to draft. Ryan's, trying to be an adult and limiting his fab league. So he has no excuse. If he wants to draft 20 best ball leagues, he's cool. Some of these guys will max out stuff and they'll spend thousands of dollars in that. We are not those guys, but we will also play a lot of best ball and enjoy it. We do this. We talk about the playoff one later in the year, which is a ton of fun as well. They have different formats. We're not going to get into all of those. Again, we'll point you where to get more analysis on that, but it's growing, at least from what I've noticed since we started. Code Bubba Bloom, I apologize, it used to be a deposit match up to $100. It's not that anymore, but it's still a good, you'll get something back if you use promo code Bubba Bloom. The last thing they gave us was for the Super Bowl, so I don't know what it is right now. I haven't got the updated email for that, but I'm honest open book here. It's a really cool format. It's like Ryan said, the 30 minutes, I love doing them on my phone. I get super, super simple. You need to obviously know the scoring, which we'll get into shortly, the roster sizes, and that'll dictate what you do. Then there's strategy of stacking, not stacking, so on and so forth in there. So like just the basics though, it's, you go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app. Use promo code Bubba Blue, and we'll go from there. But what kind of basics did you want to start with, Ryan?
So, and one of the reasons there's tons of different, like you said, best ball outlets out there. Fantrax NFBC does it, and those are all great formats too. The thing that drives me mostly to Underdog, at least for best ball, is the simplicity of the format, right? Like the biggest thing for this is there are basically three positions, right? So you in these best ball games, you draft a team, you join a league of 12 teams. There's 20 rounds, so you got 20 players on each team. Each week you start three infielders, three outfielders, three pitchers, and one flex hitter. So it, basically, your only positions are infield, outfield, pitcher. It's very simple. The actual points, I don't think we'll go into what stat gets which point, whatever. But the points are very simple, and then the positions are very simple. But there's also many, many layers of complexity kind of layer between beneath that. So it's nice, as simple at the surface, you can kind of jump in and do it on your own. But then as you dive deeper into this, there are certainly strategies in terms of how you diversify. A lot of these underdog contests are like thousands, tens of thousands of people, and with large overall prizes. So you're trying to draft towards that large overall, in addition to attempting to winning your league, your initial pot or whatever. So at the surface, it's very simple. It's very easy to kind of attach to, get along with. But as you go, the more intermediate and advanced strategies, you can kind of layer it. And that's what a lot of these other shows that do it kind of get into those things with stacks and teams and varying your player shares and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Some guys will go as deep as looking at schedules later in the year and stuff. And I'm just like, let me get there, figure it out. Cause as the brain that I use with it is we play Roto. We just went and talked about a bunch of injuries. Like there's that was one thing I noticed. A lot of people that play heavy underdog numbers, like 50, 100 plus drafts already, they have like 25% Santander shares and stuff like that, just up in flames. And that's part of it, though. It's the same idea, though. Like when we talk about NFBC, get in early. ADP might not have adjusted yet for these, so you can get some discounts, so on and so forth. But as you mentioned, it's, you know, it's just, you know, you want infielders, outfielders, pitchers. It's that simple. There's like the strategy to it. I'm going to just jump around all over the place here now. But like there's the strategy of it is in theory, there's first, second, short, third, catchers, five infielders. There's three outfielders in a game, given game. Most DHs are outfielders in Underdog. I'll throw that out there now. Like Rafael Devers is an outfielder.
And some infielders. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So keep that in mind. So you want to go check out the deal first. But where I'm going with that is outfield dries up a lot faster than infield, more often than not. Yeah. And then you have your pitching idea with the pitching depth. How aggressive do you get in pitching? These are things you learn as you get going. But usually you'll see outfielders go heavy early on. People wait on pitching and infield, but not always. There's always some unicorns because they're 12-team drafts. So a lot of moving and shaking there.
And I'll actually show, at least for the YouTube crowd, I will show one of the main themes, and this has been a consistent theme over the last few years, specifically in Underdog, and it creates kind of its own economy. I think everyone can kind of see this. Let me pop this out onto its own tab. What I've got here, this is a Patreon tool, but this is our projections aggregator that kind of takes everything from a number of different FanGraph systems and combines it into one. I have taken this and put it through Underdog scoring system, and then kind of calculated the projected points, and then by replacement level for infield, outfield, and pitcher. And you can see here that the top seven players are all outfielders, and pretty much out of the top,
9 out of 10 are outfielders.
9 out of 10, 11 out of 13 are all outfielders. Yeah. So that's just the way that the points in Underdog and the positions kind of shake out is, and the projections bear it out too, is a lot of these teams start outfield early and do your builds that way. I guess we could go back to, so there's 20 rounds, so you get 20 players in a draft. Typically, and with infield out, you got three positions you need to fill: infield, outfield, pitcher. Typically want to go some type of 7-7-6 combination. And it's up to you kind of how you want to do that, but you're at risk of this dumb joke. You're doing 6-7 players at each position throughout. And it's kind of up to you how you disperse that. But in general, that's what pretty much most teams do in Underdog, is you start outfield early just because, and again, the numbers bear this out, you have a number of outfielders that just simply are the cream of the crop. And then you have some balance, some semblance of players at infield and pitcher later on. I think that's an interesting, as I'm working through my drafts, I've done probably 5 to 6 of them at this point. That's what I'm still trying to balance, is how do you balance those infield and pitcher slots after you've loaded up on outfield? Because again, every single team pretty much does that in these drafts. But that's how the projections bear out. Is typically these are all outfield heavy builds, and there's a case to zig against that zag, right? And not it, because this is an overall contest. But that's generally what I've seen and how the ADP bears out too.
Yeah, and a little extra thing on your projections aggregator that you're showing, you can download the rankings and upload them into Underdog and use those to draftify if you want to.
Which is what I do, which is how I...
What I do too. We'll be using the same rankings as we draft tonight.
Yep, I take this and I hit download off the sheet and it goes right into Underdog and it works. And it's interesting, like, I don't know, this is a whole other kind of strategy topic, but it's not the end all be all, right? I'm not a true projections drafter in best ball as I am. I'm really not a true projections drafter in Roto too. I color my own flavor, but there's different like types of players. The screen's all screwed up here. There we go. Yeah, there's different. So like I always go back to, you drafted Giancarlo Stanton last night. Right. Yep. It's like someone who, I don't want to say extreme low floor, high ceiling type versus a stable guy, but it's someone who's going to be in and out of the lineup. But in a best ball format, that's probably a good thing. You want to kind of shoot for that upside when they are in the lineup, as opposed to maybe Marcus Semien. He's just kind of steady, ton of plate appearances every single week. You kind of want to balance those two different types of players together when you're building your team.
Yeah, the last part's where I was going to come in. You need to balance it though. You can't go all for the gusto. Right. Because there's like, and one thing is, you know, you could do the, let's see how they did points wise the last few seasons, if you're curious. That's, you know, just one approach to it. It's not the best way to go about it, but it'll give you an idea of how they've scored in the past if you're looking for something. And just like the boring guys like Stephen Kwan, even Jung-Hoo Lee, because when Ryan was talking about like points you get, we didn't go over how, what each one is, but a lot of it's OBP based. You just got to get on base. You got to score runs. You get big bonuses for stuff like that. So those leadoff hitters that just accumulate at bats that don't strike out a ton, that goes a long way because strikeouts will hurt you in this format. So like, yeah, you want to take your big ceiling guys for sure. There's no doubt about that. But there's so many times, like I remember going over with the baseball on the Stacking Dinger show. I'm pretty sure Spencer did it on my show last year. We went over some of like the top teams that did things and how you could build with this, that, and the other. And like, are just a certain player, Stephen Kwan, just as an example. It's like the first 18 weeks before you advanced to round two, you know, he never has like that many spike weeks, but he has like three quarters of the time you're probably using him each week because his floor is so good, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, and you need those floor guys to build. So back to Ryan's comment earlier about you want like some form of a 6-7-7 or 7-6-7 or whatever. We're talking about pitchers, outfield, infielders, that many of each one. For me, it's kind of, if I feel very good with the floor, I might add an extra one somewhere else, vice versa. Like, it's more of a feel thing towards the end on how what my comfort level of each position is. Like, if I went pretty, you know, if I went pitching heavy and went some aces early, then I might not have to take a seventh pitcher. I might take seven infielders and seven outfielders, just load up on bats. There's a lot of those ideas, but there's also people say, you know, take that shot. Like, I took a lot of Bubba Chandler last year thinking he'd come up in the second half. That did not pan out. Same. But if people took, you know, like a Treya Savage or something, that panned out beautifully. Not saying people did, but just that example is how certain things can work in mysterious ways like that.
How do you, so one of the popular kind of intermediate to advanced strategies with these is, so much of, and this is more an underdog, so there are other best ball formats, you just kind of play the season out and every week you get points and that's the end. But the twist with underdog is the first 18 weeks of the season is your first pod, I guess, your first league. And then if you finish first or second place in that 12 teamer, you advance to this next round. And in all these underdog drafts, you've got, or most of these underdog contests, there are other things like eliminators and whatnot that we won't get into, but you get into these kind of, it's almost underdog, it's almost best ball postseason, where you get two more weeks. If you finish in first or second in that first pod, you advance to the next round. That next round is 2 weeks. If you win that next round, you advance to the third round, and that's 2 weeks. And then if you win that, you get to the final. So much of the season is the first 18 weeks is that first league. All you need to do, and I don't say all you need to do, is finish in second place or better in that first 12. After that, it's a brand new season and you have a 2 week sprint. So it for underdog, it makes a very interesting, like that whole, after the first 18 weeks, nothing else matters. Now you're in a 2 week sprint. You need to win this new league that you're put into. There's a whole kind of layer of strategy into that in terms of like, do you want to stack a bunch of players, a bunch of hitters on the same team? Do you want to draft towards that schedule in those playoff weeks, assuming you make it, to have the best team built for those playoffs? It adds a whole other layer that honestly, I don't really get into. I'm not advanced enough to think that. I'm just taking the players that I think are the best in the team that fits the best. Maybe I'll stack a few hitters on the same team, but does that, like, are you looking at schedules? Are you looking at how your team looks in weeks 19 through whatever, 24, those playoff rounds in quotes? Are you building a team at all with that in mind? Or are you just trying to get to the dance?
I'm just trying to get to the dance. I don't think I'm smart enough to put it all together and start picking at schedules. Cause I guess, like I kind of hinted at earlier, there's so many injuries throughout a baseball season. If my whole team's healthy by the end, I'd be pumped. Like, that's just probably not going to happen. You hope it is, but you never know. I will stack a lot. That is a thing I try to do. It's not on purpose. And it might only be like one main stack and then kind of free fall it. Or I had one where I did, it was like a th- three-man stack and a couple two-man stacks. So it's like nothing crazy, but it's enough to, if the team gets hot, you might get to really get a push with certain guys, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the more reps you do, you start to feel, see what teams you can work that with. Obviously in playoffs, we stack on purpose, but like you show the need for outfielders early. If you stick to positions early like that, your stacking changes throughout the draft, if that makes sense. Like you're not stacking out the gate, you're getting your elite players and you're stacking from there. So that changes things. I'm more focused on kind of building the team context that way, not so much the schedule to your question at hand. It's, you know, I'd love to advance. I'd love to say I planned it because of X, Y, or Z schedule, but like if that's the case, you know, every year J-Rod seems to be great in the second half. That is that because the Mariners schedule, or just because J-Rod's a second half player? Right. So it's tough to tell.
Yeah. And even I have made picks in the past with those playoff rounds in mind. I remember taking, Bubba Chandler last year. I feel like I took was it Garrett Cole? Some high profile pitcher that was missing the first half of the season. And I was like, I'll get him for the playoffs and he'll be good. And that didn't really work out too. So I generally agree. I don't try and build towards that playoffs, and maybe I'll take one prospect or injury spec in these best ball drafts, just because maybe that differentiates you a little bit from some of the other squads out there. But in general, I drafted just trying to get to the dance and build the best team to get there.
Yep. No, that's the philosophy. I think that makes the most sense for like football. It's like different. It's a 16 or 17 week schedule. Like, you know, certain teams that are going to be defensively good and aren't. And so
yeah.
So
yep.
You can kind of pick that apart. Like if we're focused on August teams and September teams, we don't even know who's pitching for those teams. We don't know. Like there's so many levels to what takes place there. It's really hard. Like, sure, you can look and say, okay, you know, Cincinnati's going to be at home, you know, three out
that
of
you,
the
that, you know, that there, there's a Coors week or something, but you have no idea the pitching matchups or hell, even if any of these teams are going to be any good or not by that
stage. Yeah, that part, but like, I think if you like the Cincinnati late schedule, you like Cincinnati in general, like you like those type of things. So I'm not too. And then if you're looking for a team heading into Cincinnati for three games out of your 2 week playoff schedule, is that really those three games that big of a deal? I don't know. So, yeah.
And I think it's hard enough to get to the playoff rounds for best ball. Like, I mean, finishing second in a 12 teamer, I mean, that's a 1 in 6 chance, right? Like, you got to have a pretty damn good squad in the first 18 weeks to even get there. So I agree. But the certainly a lot of the prize money, like you don't get a ton of money for winning your first league or finishing second in your first league. A lot of the prize money is tilted towards that overall. So there are some kind of advanced strategies out there, especially for these volume players that load up on a ton of different teams, where it does make sense, you know, if you're really into this type stuff to kind of build towards that. But for me, I'm probably doing, I don't know, 15, 20 teams this year. And it's that type of volume is not enough to, in my opinion, worry about that kind of stuff. So, and I think if you're a new best ball player, I wouldn't worry about it either.
And I'll throw this out here. There's also different ways to get your feet wet. Like, it's like DFS to me is you can play in the big tournaments with the high overalls, or you can play with some just to try to, you know, advance and survive. Like, there's the Dinger. That's the flagship. It's, you know, $15. You mentioned it's high stakes. It's 200K up front, but there's almost 94,000 people in that one. But then they just open up the base hits, $5, five max, 4,500 total people, 5K up front. Like, it start to the top. So, not a massive overhaul, but it's also more structured. There's like the $3 bunts, 20 maxes that'll be out there. There's usually the solo shot. I think it's like, what, $75 solo shot or whatever it is.
Yeah, so which I did last year. I liked it.
So there's different formats if you don't want to go dance with the big return, but it's also the bigger amount of opponents, I should say, because a lot of those people will max those out. And then so you're fighting against a large volume or doing different scenarios. So it's that DFS mindset if you want to choose something different as well. But to each their own, all it takes is one bullet in the end. It's all it really takes. And you can run hot and see where it goes and see what happens. But anything else on the best ball? Like, we're doing the cliff notes. We're going to point you in the direction to get the heavy stuff. We want to get the draft in here sooner than later. So
yeah, let's hop on a draft. But yeah, let's shout out our friends here who are really into best ball, and I listen to their shows. the Stacking Dingers podcast / YouTube channel, Stacking Dingers. That's with our good buddy Sheep. He's the man. They've been at this for a long time now. Billy Jones is like the very impressive kind of takes it more of a data side. He is on there with Sheep often. So Stacking Dingers is honestly my go-to for MLB best ball, especially for underdog. I listen to them. And then a new show that has started up this year, I was on with Spencer a couple weeks ago. Typically records at night and does live drafts. Best Ball Addict YouTube channel with Spencer Thurman. It's really good for folks just trying to, if you're just trying to learn about it and learn about it via getting reps, because Spencer will just have a guest on, talk for a little bit, but then do one or two drafts. That's really how you kind of learn this stuff. And Spencer does a really good job of doing that. So Best Ball Addict and Stacking Dingers are my two go-tos for catching up on this stuff.
They're good for sure. I want to shout out Chris Baseball, B3 Isbol is how you find him on the Twitter. He used to be on Stacking Dingers a lot. He's a busy man, but a very statistical genius. You know, he'll tweet out charts and sheets and stuff to go play with to keep things going. Then I'll mention the Badge Bros. They do all sports underdog stuff. They do a lot of really good stuff. They're doing best ball stuff now for baseball. They'll do in season. There's daily drafts that'll be like 6-man leagues, 3-man leagues that are kind of fun as well. So they do a ton of underdog content over there if you want to check them out. So there is more and more content going around. But to your point, football is still king. It'll probably always be king. And that's something we've learned to accept a long time ago, right?
Yeah, we've resigned to second place, but whatever.
Yes, but yeah, so there's the trends. There's all that good stuff. We're going to hit on those as we draft. So, Ryan, do you want to go with a dinger or do you want to get your first $5 base hit? I'm good.
I don't know. I guess we don't know whichever's more full.
Let's do a dinger and just get in there and see where it goes. So when you're ready, I'll say count to three and we'll enter.
Yep, do it.
1, 2, 3, enter.
I am in. Waiting for one person.
Yep, one person. So we're in the same one. Cool.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome. And if anyone listening wants to be that last person,
Spencer's
already in.
Yeah,
I'm sure Spencer. That's good. That's fortunate luck. We don't want to have me waiting out here with dead air. It has already.
Yep, there's Spencer.
This is the other thing with underdog is you don't like join a league. At first, for me, this was like, what the hell? You don't join a league. There's enough action on underdog that these things just continually fill. So you just go to underdog. You either go on the app or the website, and you just sign up and you're in a league, and then you wait for it to fill. It usually fills within a few minutes and then you're off and running, and then the next league opens. So that's another thing where, like, if you're used to like registering for leagues or whatnot via the NFBC or whatever, Yahoo, ESPN, you don't really do that. You just enter the contest and you're in a league and it fills once there's 12 people in there.
Yep. And the draft will be starting in 15 seconds. Which will be great. I have the 5th pick. You have the 9th pick. Spencer has the 10th pick. And you and I are the only there's one other badgeless wonder. Oh, dude,
yeah. Do we need to go through the badges or no?
That's a whole other thing, folks. That's I believe Sheep said the easiest way to get like the charity badge is you have to do 500 drafts in a draft season or like win an overall. So I said I'll never have a badge.
Sounds good. Should get the charity badge for donating all of my money to underdog.
The only complaint there's always complaints throughout the day, but my only complaint is like, we'll see how this goes with Bay Area Fishermen in the first spot. Guys will reserve spots and then they'll just leave the draft. It'll auto draft, but you have to wait the 30 seconds every time. And that like, whereas like an NFBC, if you get auto picked, you just freaking, you're done. Auto. Yeah. Soto almost fell to me. That would have been glorious. I'm going to go with Corbin Carroll here.
For those listening on pod, the rest of this might be a little tough. This is a live draft that we're streaming on the YouTube channel here. So we won't be, these things go so fast. It's a 30-second clock. Again, that's the other nature of this. This is like popcorn. You chew through these. They go super fast. It's a 30-second clock. So we're not going to narrate each pick or even look at other teams or whatever. It goes that fast, which is again the beauty of it. You can kind of knock these out and in a half hour.
But to your point, it's all outfielders so far in the first six picks.
It is. Yep. All outfielders so far. And do I even have my, yes, I've got my thing up here. The draft room's pretty straightforward. Once you upload your rankings, you can sort the draft room, the players. I'm now up. You can sort it by your ranks or by ADP, which is nice. And I kind of like to flip back and forth between the two because I like to take the guys that I think are projected to do the best, but I also want to do so within reasonable ADP. And the ADP is 100% different than what it is in the NFBC because it's a different scoring system, different positions, et cetera, et cetera. For me, that's the biggest, hardest adjustment switching back between these two, between NFBC and underdog is the scoring system and the ADP. So I just basically kind of draft off of that combination of two.
And if you are looking to stack, you could use the search function and put the team name in, and all those players from that team will pop in so you can star them and put them in your queue if you so choose. That'll be one way to make that quicker for you. Other thing I'll mention, we talked to infielders. I mentioned catcher is part of the infield. Yeah, nowadays you can take an elite catcher later on, but it's usually a thing you don't take too many catchers to get aggressive with. But there's a start, a infield, J-Ram, De La Cruz. Like I said earlier, you will see different, like it's not everyone will go outfield heavy out the gate. You'll see a few guys get a little off the wall with things.
And even our buddy Spencer went Tatis Vlad. So, like, yeah, that... And I agree. The math does work out. You're going to be up here in a couple seconds. But the math does work out that these outfielders, these elite outfielders are scarce, and that's what everyone does. But there is certainly a case to be made for going against the grain there because you are trying to be a little bit different than the other teams in a large contest like this. So we do have another infield team. There has been no pitcher taken yet. Bubba, you are up. I've actually, by the rankings, the big three are, you just took one. Okay.
Yep.
The big three do stand out in my rankings versus the replacement level.
Yeah. I haven't gone pitcher early at all in my early drafts. I wanted to try that. I was going to take Gunnar Henderson to mix it up, but that didn't happen. So I was like, okay, let's go. Cause I've done the Carroll Churio, which Churio went right after me. I've made those. So this is like the way we talk in Roto, how do you diversify? This is me trying something different, essentially. And that's why I usually like doing that. I max out the bunt, the 20 max $3 to practice all that stuff, but they're not open at the moment.
Yeah, at least until today. It's not the bunt, it's the whatever, the base hit.
Also, Bay Area fans here, though, so that's good. A lot of power he just went with, though. Otani, Alonzo, Olsen, so... Power will get you a lot of points, but strikeouts will hurt you as well. So look at that Skeens-Crochet combo.
There's a Skeens code. That's the other dude with no badges. It's me, like you, and this cross-forge person with no bling.
No bling.
So again, you start your starting spots every week is three infield, three outfield, and one flex. So I have even started four outfield in a row to start, but it's because I do see like once you get in the middle rounds, the outfield does completely dry up, which is again totally different than what I think of in Roto, but it does bear out. So
real quick, on the turn on the 1-2 turn, we had a Rooker Kurtz. Nick in the chat says a stack in the 12 hole. Spencer Thurman says he loves drafting the big three early pitchers because I think they do separate themselves. We talk about it in NFBC Roto, how they separate themselves. I think in this format, you know, barring health, they do separate themselves. And look at pick seven. They're three infielders out the gate, so he's going completely against the norm. And even with Lindor, he's not buying it the injury at all, which that was wonder when Lindor would go. You're coming up, so I'll talk for a minute. Cal Raleigh went middle of round three. That's might be like I don't follow ADP that well, but that might be the earliest I've seen him go because that's not a normal thing. Oh. And you've gotten three outfielders as well.
I typically do, and like I said, sometimes I do four, but we'll see. The three outfield, the three another infield, A's,
the A field. Stack is real. Sorry,
yeah, the you're A right. Stack
is real.
Kurtz, Rooker.
Soderstrom. But yeah, this draft's moving, which is beautiful. Sorry to interrupt
you. No, they all it's moving too fast, man. Because like am I trying to do a stack or am I just trying to pick dudes and I've got 20 seconds to freaking decide?
I don't worry about the stack till later on.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Like, are you
easier to stack than others? Cause there's some teams with more players like the D-backs. I took Carroll. Who else am I really taking outside of Ketel Marte and Perdomo?
Yeah.
There's really nobody.
But there's stacks you can take later that don't have a headliner. You could grab a bunch of Rockies.
Rockies I found myself like really attracted to late.
I took Harper in the fourth as my first infielder. And just a lay of the land here, through 3.5 rounds, only the big three pitchers have been taken. So it's basically all infield and outfield so far. You are up, sir, with two outfielders and one pitcher. Are you going to shore up that elite outfield or are you going to go in?
Yeah, Ian Happ. It's boring, but he just puts up numbers. So
there's
there.
Right next to you, four outfield.
Three pitchers. Skeens, Crochet, Sanchez. My goodness.
That's awesome. And the pitchers, in this scoring format, the pitchers, it's very heavily weighted towards wins and quality starts. So that is a thing. Good pitchers do get you a boatload of points. The replacement level's higher, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
Nick's in the chat at number four. He's the fourth pick. He's got the Soto, Churio, Langford, Bellinger deal.
Okay, you've got the four outfield. I've done that. I like that.
Four infielders now too. Good Lord. Oh my God, Yamamoto. We got four aces essentially.
I don't get. That's a little bit too much to grab a fourth pitcher because, again, you can only start three in a given
week.
And you've got Skeens, Crochet, Sanchez. You're probably wasting some of those starts with Yamamoto in the fourth. I think that's a little overkill, in my opinion. I do think you can go, and you're up. You got 10 seconds. I do think you can you can start four infield, four outfield. Like Nick, who is in the chat with the four outfield. Like, it'll be interesting to see when he goes back to the well. And if ultimately how many outfielders does Nick end up with? Typically, if I'm starting four outfielders, I'm just going to grab two other ones later, and then I'll have seven at my other two spots.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was saying earlier. Like, when you're deciding which one you want to have seven, if you're pretty strong and you think more often than not you're going to be using three out of these four or five, you don't need to add extra ones, essentially, to your point. Because you're using three. If you have four good ones, you're using three at outfield and one at utility. So that's your goal at least when you're drafting them.
Yeah. And if those guys get hurt, you're kind of screwed anyway. Like, you put all your eggs in that bucket. So, all right, I am up. I'm going to flip back and forth between ADP and I'll do Austin Riley. So I've got three outfielders, two infielders. Have not touched a pitcher so far. You took Logan Webb. I like that.
We're talking about innings, quality starts, stuff like that. Webb plays out. Again, it's just different for me because I don't mind the later pitching, but it gets interest like a lot more, I don't know, risky, which would make sense later in drafts. But I want to get a couple sure things on paper, sure things for now.
Yeah. I've done a couple eight pitcher builds as well. I don't know how I feel about it, but depth of pitcher is huge. These guys go down, especially if you're drafting this early in the offseason.
Another A. Oh my goodness.
Gotta have three. Team 12, man. Four A's and Seiya. And then Neto.
Yeah, and we have this team that's on the clock, team 11. They have four infielders. Team 1's got four infielders. So I'm seeing a lot more infielders builds than I've seen all season so far. There's O'Neill Cruz, might as well count as an infielder. No, just kidding. Altuve in the outfield. Right, which makes sense. He played enough outfield, but yes. Just some things you expect certain guys to be in certain positions, but they will not be, is my point. Ryan's on the clock. I want to say he's going to go pitcher. Yeah, oh, Brian Wu, of course. Of course.
Quality start legend.
There's Cole Reagans. You should have went there.
No. Hell no. Oh, Cole Reagans went next.
Haters going to hate.
Cole Reagans going six innings? I don't see that happening very often.
Don't be such a hater.
Nick says, yes, he'll have six outfielders max when he starts four in a row. Like that makes sense. I still think you probably want six. Five's pushing it. That's a little thin at a hitter spot.
And see, right there is why the scoring format's so different. Brian Reynolds in round six right there is actually a good pick. Like that, his boring floor is actually really good in this format.
Sheeps here says this is a wild room. There are some,
yeah.
The four pitcher start to me is nuts. And then a four infield start, a little bit lesser nuts.
Fifth pitcher. Fifth what are pitcher. We doing now?
All right, what's this person doing?
Yeah. Burks asks, could the fourth starting pitcher be his flex? No, flex has to be a bat.
Flex has to be a bat. So you can only do three pitchers in a given week.
Yeah, he basically he could have a five pitcher build and walk away from pitching if he really wanted to. I'd still have a six, but he could go. And now we just have a team with five infielders and two outfielders right now. This is going to be real interesting to see how these finish out. Hey, he didn't take a six pitcher. That's a start.
The five infield. I'm still okay with the five infield, but you've got a team one there has to pivot away now at this point. Wow.
Yeah, that's Jesus. Wow, indeed, is the right answer there, Ryan.
And so, so a team started three infielders and another team started with four out of the first five. Two teams started four out of the first five infielders, and then we've got our team pitcher here. So, I don't know. Any draft can be wild like this. The problem with the five-pitcher team, it screws it up for the rest of us.
That's why I'm kind of glad I got my two I got.
I know. Like, honestly, the pitchers next up are Dylan Cease and Chris Sale, and Dylan Cease just went. So,
well, this is also the other thing with the best ball is how you mentioned at the beginning how you just get thrown into leagues. So it's always so random there. And then when you go to the next pod, like you're legit could be facing players with the same players.
Yeah.
And it's the luck of the draw because like you could be in a league that half your league could be drawing dead essentially, but they advanced because they had a couple elite guys. And then it's just weird how everything works out. You've got to have a lot of luck on your side, but you still have to have a great team. But it starts with what room you get put into. And this is one of those rooms, as Sheep would know, doing many of these, and Spencer and these guys, like, this is one of those, like, what is going on?
Just got double sniped there with Cease and Sale right before me.
So that he transitioned to Kyle Stowers instead?
He was my highest ranked dude in ADP.
You panicked? Kidding. I'm kidding.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm just messing with you. There's a double tap for the A's team, Fried and Strider. You know, Strider around eight in a best ball, I probably wouldn't do it because of my thoughts on Strider, but I get it. I get it in this format. Like, if you go six or seven pitchers, I get it. But especially with all the other pitchers gone,
I'm pretty
might as well take a shot at the ceiling.
Yeah, I should.
You got to go pitcher here. You got to go pitcher here. There's no one left. But
you got a what?
Oh, there's a great pitcher for you to take right now.
Our Lord, Jesus.
Thank you. As I was like, come on, he's sitting right in front of you.
Yeah, Jesus Lizardo, pitcher two there. You're right. So I've only, that was my second pitcher in the eighth round. That's fine though.
That's fine.
I'm not too far behind.
Ryan, just as a reminder, you're team nine, in case you're curious.
Very Scott funny.
Burks in the chat.
Yeah. Burks would come up with a low level joke like that one.
There goes Lou Bob, who actually is good in this one. So that team went three infielders to start and has backed it up with four straight outfielders. That's a good way to go about it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, obviously behind on pitching, but. I like that because outfielders, we're going to start to see outfielders turn into death at this point. Like, and even my Kyle Stowers pick in the seventh round, like, that's not great. The top outfielder on the board, I need to take this guy off by ADP is Santander. Can you not draft somebody?
I was wondering that the other night when I was doing things, like, I just like to exclude guys. I want to say you have to probably.
Never mind. He got taken.
Oh, by the guy with the five pitchers.
By the five pitcher guy. All right. That team, man.
That team was imploded this whole thing.
Schwarber, Trout, Santander, and then five pitchers. That's our badgeless amigo.
That's our badgeless amigo. Apparently, we know why he's badgeless. I hope he's in the chat because I was like, I would love to pick his brain. I'd love to know what's going on here. You want to scroll up a tad bit, por favor?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Go up a little bit.
Well, you can't see the name, so that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. Oh well.
But whatever.
It does. It is nice on the top of the this draft board. It does say the number of players each team has picked by position, which is kind of cool. Underdog has a lot of really like kind of nifty UI things like that, where you can do that. CrossForge needs to find stacking dingers. Like, we all need to find stacking dingers, especially this dude who just took his four pitchers. Whatever. Whatever.
Oh, we will.
I fully admit I am not a seasoned pro at this. So.
Oh, I'm not either. That's why it's fun. Make fun of me all you want. I'm used to it. But I just enjoy the drafting aspect of this and then just putting the puzzle together, especially when someone else totally screws up the quote-unquote norm, which is totally fine, legal, the whole process. You put your money up. You can draft whoever you choose. It just makes things interesting from what we're used to seeing.
Yep.
So you have to be able to pivot quickly. Where are you looking here, Ryan? Because you got your Jesus Lizard with your last picks. You have two pitchers now. Pitchers are starting to go heavy in these last couple of rounds.
So I
just got my third pitcher. So where are you going?
Okay. I've got two pitchers, three infielders, three outfielders, four outfielders. So, and my four outfielders are all pretty early. So I am not going back to outfield for a little bit. Choosing between pitcher infield, I'm just going to go by projections and go Yandy Diaz. I want to fill
him for a while. Yeah.
Want to fill infield here pretty quickly. But this is what I always struggle with is when I start outfield heavy, which again, I do pretty much every time. How do I balance infield versus pitcher the rest of the way? I kind of just like take one then the other, but I have not found that perfect mix yet.
That's why I wouldn't mind starting a little outfield draft or an infield draft. I mean, like some of these other guys, just to kind of see where the ducks lie when all things.
But infield. So look at, look at round 7 through 9 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12 outfielders total have been taken in round 7 through 9. So like, that's the risk, I think, with starting infield heavy or pitcher heavy or whatever it is. These middle rounds for outfielders, it's just gruesome. It's tough. It's tough out there.
It's tough in the streets. But
Spencer, don't take my guy.
Do it, Spencer.
I wanted take Kirby. All right.
Oh, I know who you want then if you said that. Yeah, that's easy. I took him last. There it is. Good job. You got him.
Gossman.
Yep.
I wanted Kirby, though. Quality star legend. Wins legend in Seattle.
That was a couple years ago, yeah.
A couple years ago. You're not wrong, unfortunately.
I'd love to get Britton Doyle to fall to me. I don't think he will, but he's falling. It's the pitcher run right now, so we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. But this is, again, this is consistent with what I've seen. Just the outfield options in these middle rounds. This is why a lot of teams start heavy outfield is because it's tough. Spencer Thurman, I literally almost clicked Gossman. You know?
Why didn't you?
Thank you, Spencer.
You're a good dude. Is that how it's going to be? You guys are collusion? Is that what I hear, collusion in this draft?
Are you up?
Yep, now I am. Britton Doyle, come on down. And now I'm pretty much good in my outfield. I have five outfielders I can chill there. And then just pepper infield and pitching from here.
You've only got two infielders, so I'll be interested to see how you
the mighty corners in Kansas City.
How you fill that out? Corners in Kansas City.
Yeah, I got Garcia and Vinny P.
Okay, is that by design?
Kind of, but then someone took Jack Cags, so it kind of ruined that idea. I could still grab Sally if I really wanted to.
See, man, I don't know. This thing goes too damn fast for me to like. I don't even know who I have on. Which real teams? I don't think I have any stack.
No, I'm not too worried about the stack right now.
But I don't think you don't have to stack. No, it's, you don't. It helps with the playoffs if you get hot, but it's certainly not a. It's not like the postseason contest where you pretty much every team is a stack of two teams.
Yeah, and then if we were doing this and that guy picked five pitchers right there and ruined all the stacking possibilities, that's when we start chirping. Like that's when stuff gets. A little more on the heated side of things. Schwellenbach just got picked. By the guy with all the pitchers.
By the guy with Santander.
Yeah. Good Lord.
It's probably an autopilot. You can put these on autopilot. And
yeah. So I just took Tovar to pair with Doyle. We talked about the cheap Rocky stacks. There are some of those that I do like out here. Not like musts, but you can get a few and make it a little interesting.
So basically how I handle this infield versus pitcher thing is I look for pitchers. If I don't see any that I like, I'll just take an outfielder instead.
As Spencer says, stacks are good for bulk strategy specifically, but not a must to succeed for sure. Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
And it makes sense. You just want total points to survive in advance. You want guys to stay healthy. You want the best possible outcome, obviously, and doesn't always mean it's...
I certainly don't do enough... Oh, what the hell? I was just going to take Pena. Well, Jesus.
I almost took him instead of Tovar, but good pick, Ryan Wash. Probably lives near you.
Ryan in Washington.
Yep.
Or his name is Ryan Washington. One of the two.
Who would do that? Torque. Want that power, huh?
I mean, it doesn't matter where you get it from. It's points.
No, I was not even being sarcastic. Just asking a question. Trying to start conversation here. A little over halfway through the draft, if anybody cares.
I'm not one for conversation tonight.
No, you are not. This is great. podcast conversations, ideas. Bengaliers, we missed that. Bengaliers went to the All A's team recently, so that continues. But he still only has the two pitchers. That's good. Oh, here goes number three. Okay. He's got a third arm with their interesting arms, is the best way I'll put it. He must be a Bay Area guy. He's got a couple Giants, got his A's.
Fried Strider. Is there, I'm curious if Spencer Sheeper in the chat is too much of a stack, too risky? Like this team 12 has what, six A's? Maybe five. I think five is probably okay, but try to limit it to like 3 to 5 players on a team.
I guess if you're going to stack a place, you stack it. But the problem is, it's like everyone goes, oh, yeah, but look at their ballpark. But yeah, then there's the other, you know, the other week when they don't play at home. So, like in the playoffs, like for weeks 1 through 18, it probably works out pretty well as a whole. But in the playoffs, now you're sitting there going, maybe not. So that's always something to think about as well.
I don't really even like this pick. I'm taking Gavin Williams, but I've only got three pitchers. I feel like I need to have more than that through 12 rounds.
Smart move. Gavin's got a ceiling play in him. Don't hate it. Don't hate it.
I don't know. I think we saw the ceiling last year, to be honest.
And that wasn't bad for your fourth pitcher.
All right, what are you thinking here? Five. Five outfield, 3-3 pitcher infield.
I'm going to get another one of my two-man stacks. We're heading to the Wrigley to the Windy City, if possible.
To pair with Hap?
Yeah. Yep, there we go. Going to get my shortstop that I get everywhere else, Dansby Swanson. And now we're back to four infielders to go with my five outfielders, and we're balancing things out the way I usually do. Now, does that mean it's the right thing to do? Can't say so, but yes.
Yeah, you've only got three pitchers. I just warned about. But it is, it's one of them Scooble. So, like, you took a pitcher in the second round, that's probably fine to be a little bit lagging on.
And there's a bunch of pitchers coming up that I don't mind at all. So, like, we'll start taking some shots here on the mound. Like, Nola is still available if you're feeling it, stuff like that.
Nola's actually not a bad best ball play.
Because he throws the innings. Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah, and if he gets blown up, doesn't hurt you as much as in Roto.
Yeah, because hopefully you have three other pitchers you can use that week.
Or even if a pitcher didn't play.
Yeah, that zero is still better than what Nola probably did for you that week.
Sheep says going too hard on one team is risky. Rule of thumb is 3 to 5. Per team, depending on offense. Biggest problem with the A's is they're popular, right? So I think I kind of mentioned that earlier, is with the stacks. Like, I think the key is, if you're going to stack, try and find that kind of underrated offense that not a lot of other teams in the contest have stacked, and hope to hit that. I think you're up.
Yeah, I just took my fourth pitcher, Ryan Pepiot.
Are you drafting on your phone or your computer?
My phone. So that way I can stare at the screen here. I only have one computer, Ryan.
I typically draft from my phone. It's just more convenient. But
I love drafting from my phone. It had a few glitches once in a while, which is not great, but yeah, I like it. Did you read this other message from Cheap about the A's?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, sorry. I must have been drafting.
You were picking. You were picking, I was talking. All right, give me Bubba. Give me Bubba. Oh, I got him. All
right. I'm right here.
Not you, Bubba Chandler.
You can't quit me.
Unfortunately, I'm not contractually obligated to show up every week.
No. We tested the lines tonight.
What's the worst that would happen?
But yeah, see, even it's just, you know, you like your bloom board's colors. You look at this board and it just keeps it and telling you the outfield story. Like, it's just less and less orange as you go down the board.
Yep.
And the quality of orange, like we joke about it in the you know, our NFBC drafts, like you start to do Platoonsville and some other questionable situations, and that's kind of why that takes place.
Absolutely. My first draft that I did, I was like, ah, I'm gonna zig. I'm not gonna do outfield, and paid the price immensely because there's just not that many options. All right, I'm back up. I've got 5 pitchers, 4 infield, 4 outfield. I like where that's at. He's been hanging around forever, just projection-wise. I'll go Glaber. Wanted to go infield over outfield again because I'm hitching my entire team to those early outfielders, which, you know, I don't know. But I feel like in best ball, whoever you take early, you're going to ride or die with those early picks anyway. If those guys get hurt, you're kind of sunk anyway.
Oh, there goes Nola. Nola's off the board.
That's a shame, man. That team has taken 4 pitchers in a row.
Someone saved you from yourself.
5 of the last 6. And that team, so that's a cool build. That's a team that started 3 infielders, and then they went 5 outfielders. And then they went pitcher with 5 of the last 6. And those pitchers are Bradish, Yesavage, Sandy, Bibee, and Nola. So that's if you want to really wait on pitching, you can do that and end up with those guys for better or worse.
Don't mind that.
Even the outfielders they ended up with, Wharton from rounds 4 through 8, Ward, Nimmo, Reynolds, Harris, Lubob. It's not bad.
Not too shabby. I just went with Jordan Beck to give me my 3-man Rocky stack that everyone loves.
It's a shocker, man. Every draft I see you in, you end up with Jordan Beck.
Well, unlike some people, not talking about you, just talking in general, I practice what I preach. Good or bad, I do it. So...
As what do you think on Connor Griffin just went 165 overall in the 14th round? You like that?
That's not my style, but I get it. Like, this is one of those things. If he is the best prospect in baseball, then no matter if he comes up 2 months into the season, he can be a game changer for you. Yes.
And presumably, I made this mistake with Bubba Chandler last year with the same organization, but presumably would be up for those playoff rounds if that team progresses.
Yeah. So, like, he is one of those type of players you can talk about going, okay, that makes sense. Take your shot and see where it goes. Like a McConnell late, I don't think he gets much of an impact, but I could see the argument for it. But Griffin makes a ton of sense in this type of format. Like, if you're going to take a shot, that's not a bad one, because it'd be beyond shocking, I think, if he doesn't get a chance with this squad.
Yeah. The risky thing, too, though, is I wouldn't, like, take any more risks there with injuries or call-ups. I think you can do one. You hurt yourself a little bit too much in trying to advance the first time by taking too many of those guys. Lodolo, does that shock you?
No, that's about par for the freaking course. All my like pitchers are just going wild now. This is not cool. My queue is just disintegrating. Not a fan.
Shota's around, of course. Every draft I'm in, he's the top ADP guy.
Staring you in the face. Pick me.
All right, I've got 6 pitchers, 5 outfielders, 5 infielders, sorry, 4 outfielders. And yeah, outfield is dead. Outfield has passed away. There is very little.
Yeah, that's why I took Beck when I did, as much as you want to make fun of me. I'm like, I'm doing it and getting it over with. Took Salvi to give me my 3 Royals. I have 3 Royals, 3 Rockies, 2 Cubs. So like I said, my mini stacks. See where it goes.
I'm probably going too heavy on pitcher here. I just took my 7th pitcher in the 16th round. So I'm done on pitching.
Yeah, you should be done on pitching. That is correct. Highly recommend that. But I think I'm going to take a pitcher that you and I both are higher on than probably most. But we're gonna play with Jose Soriano.
Yeah, I'm a little worried we like him a little bit too much.
Well, but even projections wise, he's ranked high. Like he's way higher than his ADP in this.
He is.
So
on your phone, is your list sorted by ranking or ADP?
I go back and forth. I'm on ranking right now.
Okay.
I'm just in my queue now, just going back and forth.
Because some of the rankings are like far off from ADP. You know, you don't want to go too crazy.
No, not at all. Some are like Brady Singer's ranked 168, his ADP is 210. I think he's probably closer to the 210, but and I like Brady Singer a lot. So
the ditch digger.
Everyone needs a ditch digger. That is correct.
Classic line from the Reds pod. And Caddyshack, of course.
Yeah, and Caddyshack, exactly. A little bit of everything there. So we're in round 17. We got only a handful of picks left to go. I am on the clock.
You're on the clock. 5 pitchers, 5 infielders, 6 outfielders. Again, the typical line of thought is you end up with 7 or 6 at each position.
I'm going to take a shot on a pitcher here. I might fully regret this, but I'll do Logan Henderson and see how that goes.
Yeah, that's dicey, man. That's dicey.
So we're here for Ryan to entertain the masses. Dicey's my middle name.
Yeah, the top projected hitter is Lars Nootbaar. I just can't do that.
No, I can't. That's one like I asked Matt Thompson on the Cardinals preview.
Yeah.
What the heck is going on with this?
Thompson agreed.
Yeah. I don't get it. Just don't get it. But again, what do I know? I'm just some guy talking into a microphone. But see, this is the thing is like, there's still so many outfielders I could see.
Really? I don't see any.
I meant infielders.
Like, dude, outfield is freaking terrible.
No, outfielders, like, there's Slick Willie, there's Josh Lowe, your boy Brandon Marsh, Bader, Mullins, but they're all dicey. They're nothing locked in by any means. Yeah, it's not great. Not great, Bob. So we just play in our little world.
I'm going to do Slick Willie, but no, I don't like that at all. If I had to do this again, I would swap a pitcher for an outfielder earlier.
Yeah, it would have been a good move. Captain Hindsight's always 2020.
Appreciate that.
No problem. Heading to round 18, 3 picks to go. How are we feeling, Ryan?
I was feeling good until I had to round out my outfield here.
Yeah, you have 7 pitchers already, so that'll do it. But that's a different build. It's a different build.
I like my 7 pitchers, but I also didn't start with a pitcher till the 6th round. So similar to like how I like to do, you know, I mean, in Roto, is the later you start taking positions, you want to fill that quicker on the other end of the draft.
Yeah. I concur. I like what Sheep's saying in the chat. He likes Isaac Collins for my last outfielder if I want to stack. Those are the type of things I remember talking on his show, like your last guy if you want to get real weird, because a lot of people might have, you know, the 3-man stack, but how do you differentiate the stack? not many are taking Isaac Collins. That's a total boomer bust type play. Like, does it pan out? Does he have, it's like, does he have 4 good weeks that could differentiate everything for you? And that's where the strategy of what chances do you want to take come into play. Now, I'm not saying I'm doing that right now. I'm looking at other things at the moment, but I do agree with what he's saying as well.
What's your take on platoon guys in best ball? Like, I almost took Bryson Stott, but I decided to take Bogarts instead.
I try to avoid as much as possible, but you kind of can't after a while. I actually have Bryson Stott queued up right now. It's just funny.
It's a roll of the dice. Like, whatever week you need him in, is it a righty heavy week or not? I mean, we have no idea.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Like, Mason Wynn's still out there, but...
Yeah, I almost clicked him.
Yeah, like, I'm probably going to go Stott. I like his team context a lot better for my infielders. But, yeah, that's just the weird part of the game. And where do you go with it, I guess, is the million-dollar question. So now I'm sitting at... 666. So now I get to decide where I want to go with my sevens. I probably another pitcher because I took Logan Henderson.
Yeah, he doesn't count as a pitcher on your team.
Why? What do you have against Logan Henderson?
He's gonna be hurt, man. His elbow's screwed up. Have you learned nothing from Bloody Tuesday?
No, he's right now he's healthy. What are you talking about?
Until he reports to camp tomorrow.
Might as well take Bryce Miller while I'm at it.
Hey, he just got engaged. Hurt. He's good to go.
Oh, Jesus.
He did.
So he's got no forearm tightness then. he's got that going for him. Yeah, I'll take the Isaac Collins call from Sheep just for fun. I have a bunch of pitchers lined up, so we'll see where those fall here for my last pick when it comes back to me. But yeah, I still had a bunch of infielders queued up.
So
what?
Bryce Miller's good to go.
Real good. He's got that. We'll leave it at that. But so where are you going? What are you looking at in your last two picks?
Hitter.
Narrowed it down. Good.
I've got 6 infielders, 5 outfielders. So I probably want to end up with seven outfielders. I'm going to. Good. What about a late Angel stack in honor of Preppis?
Yep. You could.
Soler, Josh Lowe.
They're all out there. Yep. Go get Nelson Rada just to relief in honor of Preppis.
In honor of that inversion back machine.
The workbench. Yeah, that's it was quite the if anybody could pull that off on my shows, that was him. I respected it.
No, yeah, you wonder.
No, I don't want to, actually. We're good. Thanks for the thought, but we're good.
All right, do I want to do 7 infield, 7 outfield? I'm going to hinge this team on my first 3 outfield picks that I took, Julio, Devers, and Riley Green.
So you're going to go with the infielder?
Yeah, I'll close it out with Mason Wynn.
Not bad. See, now I'm looking at pitching. I have 5 pitchers queued up. I have Cantillo, Jacob Lopez, Zebby Matthews, Robbie Snelling, and SWR. SWR is who I have everywhere. That seems like the pick I want to make. I think Cantillo's got the ceiling, and Robbie Snelling's very appealing as well.
So with your last pick, too, another thing to keep in mind, I don't know if you think about this, but like, do you just want to take someone off the wall in terms of diversifying? That
well, I already took Logan Henderson's the problem.
That was off the wall for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll probably just go with my. There goes Noah Cameron. Dan beat me to it. Yeah, I'll go with my SWR usual pick. There you go, folks. About what 30 minutes and out done.
Yep.
And just look at the bottom of Ryan's screen here. There's like 5 outfielders taken in like the last 4 rounds. It's just
So here's the bottom half of the screen. I'm going to flip to the top half. There's like very little orange. This thing's all orange on the top. Like yeah. I think if you play underdog this year, I think that's if you take away one thing from this pod other than Bryce Miller's status of his forearm.
Not tight.
is that. It's just I don't know, the way the positions are. It feels like this is a one-off, but I feel like it was similar to this last year.
Yeah, it's been very similar.
You kind of just, you have to, it's kind of like closers in Roto. Everyone does it, but you kind of have to do it unless you really like some middle round outfielders and you can differentiate. But yeah. Drew Rasmussen, Mr. Irrelevant.
There you go. The guy that has trouble getting to six innings every start. So, well, interesting strategy there.
Well, Simeon Woods Richardson is no stranger to the five and dive.
Andrew Painter went right before Drew Rasmussen. Now there's your shot at the wall pick.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff we're looking at right there. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this? I guess it was just kind of a rough go for people. Like, again, if you want deeper dives into the strategies of Underdog, check out Stacky Dingers. Check out Spencer Thurman's YouTube channel. Check out Badge Bros. There's lots of stuff out there, but this gives you the gist. We used, both me and Ryan used Ryan's rankings from the projections aggregator. So pretty simple to draft off of that.
Absolutely. I will be doing more of these. You get the itch once you start really getting into it. And
it's like a Pringles can. Once you pop the top, you just can't stop.
Especially because they are so quick and easy to do. And usually, again, it fills so quickly that if you've got a spare 30, 45 minutes, you can knock one out pretty quick.
Yes, indeed. All right, real quick. We got some listener questions from the Discord. Give me a second to navigate this one. It's not as in-depth as before, but SMK Teach says, how is best ball different from a DC or draft and hold, asking for a friend?
Covered at the top, but so many. I mean, the biggest thing for me is no categories anymore. You can get all power hitters, doesn't matter. It's just points.
Positions are different, scoring is different. Go get them. Grizz Mania with a funny joke. Dustin Anderson, stacking teams is a popular strategy. Why is stacking a bad team in this format better than taking superior players across multiple teams? I don't know if that is a better strategy. We kind of talked about, even Sheet mentioned, you don't want to go too heavy on any stack, period. But what are you thinking?
And stacks that are obvious stacks that a bunch of people are going to do. I think if you want to differentiate, I feel like where I would try and stack is just get the best players early and try and do some of those. If you like an offense this year you think is going to pop off, and they got some middle round guys, I feel like that's a decent spot to stack and attack that way.
Like, the Yankees are always popular. Dodgers always popular. A's will be popular. Right. I think
Braves, I'm sure.
Braves. I think the Giants are interesting because you can get some nice, especially the infield there. And then the outfield, like a Jungho Lee, Elliot Ramos, they're cheap and they got good floors. There's teams like that you can pick around. Like, not sure the Pirates are a great example, but there's other teams where you can mix and match and build little builds that will be much, much different. TDK says, do you pay up for your stack pieces or do you draft your early rounds intending to target stacks later? I stack later.
I
don't stack at all.
Yeah. I have a hard enough time keeping up with the damn thing to stack, yeah. But I would, if in a perfect world, and that's what, actually, we didn't mention this earlier, but the Underdog does offer a slow draft version, so where it's not 30 seconds, you can do an eight hour version. It's a little long for me, but I think the prevailing wisdom in there is you join like 10 slow drafts at the same time, and you're kind of constantly picking, or you pick a spot in the day where you just pick all your teams. That at that point, you can kind of take the time to say, okay, I'm up. Who do I have on this team and stack that way. For me, the damn thing moves too fast for me to even know what I'm really doing.
Yeah, there was last year, one of the bunts, the 20 maxes, I 20 maxed it slow draft style and did that. And it took a while, but it actually wasn't that bad because it lets you kind of take it all together.
And as it gets closer to the season, it's not 8 hours anymore. Like they ensure that these drafts finish.
Yep. Dark Sheep, our buddy, says, how do you guys swap between Roto Brain and Best Ball Brain? Is the hardest part.
Yeah, that is the hardest part. It's a completely different game, 100% different game. I even like player evaluation for me in best ball. Best ball is, and maybe this is not correct, maybe I'm sure others will disagree, it's just an opinion. I feel like best ball, especially on underdog, because the actual point scoring and the positions are so simple, it's so much about game theory and how you build a team. I mean, Roto is that way too, but I feel like in underdog, it's even more so kind of the game theory side and some and team building strategies, as it opposed to just hitting the right guys.
Big Red says, one of my home leagues shifted from saves to saves and holds. The next year we moved back to just saves. We felt that holds were such a crapshoot that there really wasn't that much skill involved. Even the owner who had originally proposed adding holds voted to get rid of them. Okay, that wasn't a question. I'm sorry.
It wasn't a question. But I agree. And it had nothing to do with best ball. So I don't know.
This
maybe
is how you get me. This is how
maybe
you get me.
Mr. Cray in the wrong channel there. But but agree with the shift back to saves for what it's worth.
And that wraps us up here. Wraps up the questions here. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know the people that were in the chat said it was good, fun. I like to do these drafts. Like, if I had more free time, I'd love to do more of them, even if it's on Bench with Bubba or something. And I usually, once my team previews are done, I'll have like Spencer on, I'll have Dark Sheep on, I'll do some underdog stuff over there as well. But so keep an eye out on that. But any final thoughts, Ryan, before we wrap this up and get back to our regularly scheduled programming on Thursday?
If you're new, you can try out the code Bubba Bloom for some type of discount on underdog. We're not exactly sure, to be honest, but that's how it goes around here. Thursday we will be doing an auction primer. So as listener leagues start to heat up the following week, we're going to do our take on how we approach auctions. We will not do a live auction on Thursday, but as part of that, like we did tonight, but we will do an auction primer Thursday leading up to listener leagues.
Yep. So thanks to y'all for joining us. A little something different. Hope you guys did enjoy it. We're not just, you know, your standard run of the mill crew. We like to have fun, as you guys can tell. And congrats to Bryce Miller and his stiffness release. Make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick. This was Bubba the Bloom, episode 319. Catch y'all next time.